This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week we picked the brain of Insane in the Rain, go toe-to-toe with Street Fighter in a long-time coming episode of The Big Ones, and teach a little sax education in this week's playlist.
It's episode 55 of the Overclocked Podcast. Hello, everyone, and hello to my brother and co-host, Steven.
Hi.
You should say my name because I didn't.
Brian.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
You don't sound very good.
Why are we recording this at 10:30 p.m. the night before the episode goes up?
That's a great question.
I'm tired.
Well, luckily, we have to do very little heavy lifting because most of this is pre-recorded.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone else did the heavy lifting.
Exactly.
Have you heard the segment from Matthew yet?
I have not.
It's a like 12-minute long epic on the different versions of Street Fighter 2 music, and it's only part one.
Oh, my gosh. Are you saying there's going to be a part two?
Well, I sure hope so, unless you want this to turn on like Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
No, that had an episode 2. It just didn't have an episode 3.
Oh, I need to learn my Sonic history.
And we're also going to be joining Insane in the Rain, otherwise known as...
Carlos Eni. He's a very good person. I like that man. His music is top notch.
As you can tell, Steven is just going to be a font of wisdom tonight. So let's go ahead and jump into this week's Remix Rewind.
Okay.
Nutritious starts us out this week with his punchy drum and bass remix, Weapons of Mass Production. Another great track from OCR's new Super Mario RPG album, this one lets loose with some aggressive drum and bass, throwing us into the depths of a giant factory where heavy, dangerous-looking things are constructed by other dangerous, heavy-looking things.
Chris Mugley Miller's Lunar 2 Eternal Blue remix, Blue Star Prayer, gives Lucia's theme a majestic orchestral facelift, taking Lunar veterans back to a time when we fought to wake a goddess and save a world.
Sky, brilliant with blue elegance I couldn't behold. When I was alone as one, my heart was as ice, so cold. Wind whispering sweet melody, and within your warm embrace, my heart will find a place, even from afar. Our love forever shall be destined.
Retrohead 5 is Maze Dude's funky take on Retro City Rampage's title theme, and you can tell he had fun with it. The ambient, bass-heavy tune rolls along like a sky full of dark clouds, punctuated by unexpected blasts of wind, the kind that suddenly steals her hat. We'll be right back. For these remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Intune Interview, where we talk to music makers about the music that they make. You probably know that by now. I'm just repeating myself, but it's okay. I'm Steven. I'm your host. And today we have Carlos Ini, also known as Insane in the Rain, over on the YouTubes and social medias. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Hello, Steven. Thank you for bringing me onto this wonderful long-form audio recording in which I share thoughts through my mouth.
It is indeed my pleasure to engage in this auditory experience with you, Carlos. we're already eloquenting the heck out of this show.
That's our vocab levels are getting a bit too high.
Yeah.
Let's turn this crap down a bit.
Yeah, we need to sound dumber. So this is exciting to me because this is the first interview that I'm recording post MAGFest. So I'm just a more generally happy and balanced human being after that experience.
Are you a more sick human being after that one?
Did
you
get? No, man, I survived.
Oh yeah, because a lot of my friends got hit with the mag flu. I didn't. It was great.
Oh, good. We are the survivors. I did, however, experience some pretty rough allergies upon coming back to Houston, Texas.
Oh,
apparently, even January is the damp and warm season in this part of the country.
I mean, that's Southern Texas.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. But all right, Carlos, why don't you tell the fine folks listening what it is you do?
Sure. In case you don't know already or you haven't looked at, I presume there are show notes with this thing somewhere?
There should be.
Okay. Well, there's probably a link to my channel somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And if you've clicked on that by now, you'll know that I upload jazz covers of video game music every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. PST to my YouTube channel. I've been doing this sort of thing I've been uploading to YouTube for 5 years. I started doing jazz covers about 2 years, maybe 1.5 years into that. I've released a couple of albums, including my Pokemon Ruby Sapphire and Emerald Tribute album, Back to Your Little Roots, a vocal jazz album with Sab Irene called Weebop, and most notably my Undertale jazz album, Live at Grillby's, which has been picked up by quite a few outlets, and even Toby Fox himself, we talked about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and speaking of which, that recently won an award at MAGFest for 2016's Best Remix Album or something.
Wow.
Like that.
Yeah, that's great, dude. I can't believe I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. Most people who know me through Live at Grillby's now. So you're one of the weird people.
I am. I've heard that my whole life, Carlos. But we did quickly meet up at MAGFest.
I was super busy that night.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, I caught you like right after the performance with Doug Perry and everyone. Are you guys like part of a group, or did you just join up for that jam session?
So there is a group. There's a main group called Disco Cactus, which is
right.
I think, I'm not sure if it's led by Doug, but I think it's led by Doug. And he invited me to perform with them for that.
Okay.
That's why I was with them.
Cool. Yeah. I think that the first time I heard, about you actually was I think it was on Twitter, fellow contributor to the podcast, Matthew Tucirone, also known as Major Third. He runs a YouTube channel. Kind of analyzes and discusses video game music. And the first time I had met him on Twitter, he pointed me to one of your songs. I mistakenly thought it was his song and started complimenting him. Like, dude, your work is so good. This is amazing.
It's not me.
Yeah, that's not me. It's this guy called Insane in the Rain. So it was kind of an embarrassing introduction, I guess. It all worked out in the end because you're both on the show.
Yeah, I met him at MAGFest too. Super nice guy.
Oh, you did? Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we hung out a lot. So let's get into your channel a little bit. Like, maybe walk us through, what's the old process for creating a new video? How do you find what song you're going to pick and reinterpret it into your own style.
So I could go into the whole process, but I'll stick to mainly like the song selection and the bare basics of production.
Okay.
So the hardest part by far of this whole weekly videos thing is coming up with a good creative arrangement every week.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most difficult thing to do. And usually what ends up happening is I'll be listening to a non-video game music tune, like some jazz album that I really like, and then I have to like really like a certain track, and then I think and say, what video game song would work well in this same style? And then sometimes I just pull a track out and I like figure out how to play them together, and I like just try things out, and I think, oh, that would sound really cool. And so basically the stuff I do on my channel is like a blend of various tracks that I have like stolen and dissected, figured out like the core parts of the instrumentation, then applied it to the skeleton of a video game music tune. And then, of course, I mean, it's not exact, but I add some of my own stuff in there. So it's a lot of stealing, but in a good way.
Well, I mean, as someone who's representing Overclocked Remix, I can only applaud that. So what kind of jazz do you like to listen to?
Not so much the old stuff. I've been into jazz that's released like in at least the 2000s and like more current than that, I suppose.
Okay, cool.
So artists like Kamasi Washington, he released an album in 2015? Yeah, 2015 called The Epic, which was like one of the most highly regarded jazz albums of that year. Artists like Snarky Puppy, Bill Lawrence. Let me check out who's in my Spotify list.
I have this
playlist on Spotify called Scrumptious and Sonorous. I don't know if that's something you could promote, but it's like a playlist full of songs I like, but also the songs that I stole from when I wrote my arrangements.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's kind of cool that you can like go through it and you can see, oh, that's where that song came from. People like the Punch Brothers, Brian Blade, Joe Henderson, Jacob Collier, Donnie McCaslin, jazz artists like that. I guess the Punch Brothers aren't jazz, but they all end up in my music somehow, and it's cool to see a huge melting of all these different influences into one YouTube channel. But it's also just good music.
It's just good music, right. Well, we'll totally link to that in the show notes.
Awesome.
That sounds cool. So when you're actually taking, once you found like the song you want to draw inspiration from, how do you match that to like to a game?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. it's I think nailing down the creative process to a science, in some ways it's doable. Like if you make a routine that like I'm able to do stuff within a week, but it's one of just the weirdest things that it happens when you don't try. Like if I ever try to write a good arrangement, it never works. It only happens when I stop trying, which is the hardest thing. Because I am a very like efficiency oriented type of person.
Sure.
So it's difficult to just relax and let the stuff happen. That's the only thing, like only part of the process where I have to do that. Everything else I just schedule it and just work hard, you know?
Do you like the time pressure? Like, is that something you enjoy?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Kind of, it's a motivator rather than a world destroying stressor.
Yeah, some people think of it. I mean, I think it goes back to who you are as a person or your personality type. But just me personally, I really like the pressure of having to do something in a certain amount of time and make it good. Sometimes I wish there was more, but then it's sometimes my fault for wasting time.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen. I think I used to be in the camp where I never wanted deadlines, but I think podcasting broke me of that, right? Like, getting a show up every week has become a lot more rewarding than scary, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, saxophone is your main instrument.
Yes.
It's in your logo, for crying out loud, so I hope that's true. What else do you play, though?
My secondary instrument is piano. I've been practicing that more and more. There's a piano solo in my latest video. I don't know if it'll be my latest video by the time this comes out. But it's in Mali City from Pokemon Sun and Moon. And I think that's a good example of how my piano skills have improved. Been picking up guitar. I play a couple of percussion instruments in my videos. I've played bass, but like once in one of my videos. I don't own a bass, but it was my roommate's bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I play a lot of instruments at a very like mediocre level, but mediocre enough to make it into a video sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Just especially when they're accompanying instruments, right?
Yeah.
Like you can solo with something you're proficient with.
Yeah. Like I would almost never do it like a shred guitar solo because I can't play guitar that fast, you know? But
yeah.
If it's like a couple chords or like a simple melody, then you can. I had enough skills for that.
But you also seem to collaborate with people a lot.
Yes. Yeah. That is something I'm trying to do a lot in 2017 is going to MAGFest made me realize I knew this before, but it made me really remember just how big and welcoming the video game music community, both on YouTube and also off of YouTube, is, including you guys over at OCR.
Yeah, it proves the fact when you see everyone in person everyone is smiling and having a good time and wanting to introduce themselves. It's pretty rad.
They're real people. That's the thing that you don't realize on the internet.
Yeah. So like, what's been some recent collaborations you've done, and what was your approach for it?
I don't, again, let's check the YouTube channel, because I make a video, I put it up, and then it just becomes a blur, like, the day after, and I'm already focused on the next one. I mean, my general approach to collaborations, it evolves in the same way that my arrangement style evolves, in that I listen to a song, and perhaps it has a certain instrument that's featured, in particular. And I'll have a friend who plays that instrument, and I'll talk to them and say, hey, you want to do this with me? We can make it sound like this. And almost 11 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, sure, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my most recent ones was a tune from Xenoblade Chronicles called Snowy Valak Mountain.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that features one of my my friends in college, actually. I go to the Berklee College of Music, and as such, there is a very vast pool of people to pull from at this school to play instruments. And so one of my friends, Trace, played saxophone in that. I also did a cover of Vast Pony Canyon from Pokemon Sun and Moon featuring Swiggles RP on guitars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You should get him on here at some point.
We should. Yeah, I definitely know the name. It sounds super familiar.
He's really active in the community.
Cool.
I did one with another friend from college, and then more friends from college. And I've collaborated with a fair few people on the YouTube scene.
That's cool.
But I'm always looking for more.
Do you ever end up popping into other people's videos and collaborating that way, or do you
mostly
bring people in?
Time to time.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, one is like the artist Jonathan Young. He's not really a video game music artist, and I mean, he might have done like one video game song on his channel or something.
Right.
He does Disney covers and some other stuff, and he did a version of I Want to Be Like You from the Jungle Book, and I played saxophone in that, and that was a lot of fun.
You're part of the deal, cuz lay the secret on me of man's red fire.
I don't know how to make fire.
Are there some favorite songs from games, or I guess songs from jazz, that you haven't put up or haven't created a video for yet that you really want to?
Yes. Well, as you've learned, I have a list for that.
Of course. you haven't let me down yet, Carlos.
Yeah, I use Google Keep, and I keep track of a bunch of song ideas. Dragon Roost Island is one of them. that I've I've done once as part of a medley, but I'd like to do a full version, probably coming in February sometime.
So Dragon Roost has kind of a, I almost want to say it's kind of a Latin flavor.
It's almost 3/4 Latin, kind of not really flamenco, but kind
it has that, it has that vibe to it.
Yeah.
Do you think that you're going to try to retain that rhythm and feel, or are you going to jazzify it up so it sounds really?
I mean, obviously, you know, it's jazzified up, but it won't. I don't think it'll go far away from that, because I think that's a very important part of the track to retain.
Mm-hmm.
There are some like when I approach or rearranging a song, there are sometimes key aspects of the original song that I think people would almost get mad at if I didn't keep.
Yeah.
For example, in Pokemon Sun and Moon, Gladion's battle theme has a slap bass part in it, and I thought to myself, I could just cover this my normal way, but I got my friend to play slap bass on it because it wouldn't be the same without it, you know?
Right. Try to retain those little elements that are the heart and spirit of the song.
While still changing it up a fair amount.
Yeah, I get that.
There's that. There's also Route 225 from Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. Not the most popular pick, but it is, it's like one of my favorite songs from Pokemon overall. I haven't done Snake Eater from Metal Gear Solid, which I want to do one of these days.
You got to get Laura Entropia in on that.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
She has sung Snake Eater for video games live quite a few times.
Oh, really?
It's awesome.
Definitely. I don't think I ever got to meet her at Mac. I think I got to meet her once, but we didn't talk that much. So perhaps. There's that. A couple other ones on the list. Just the Kalos power plant for Pokemon X and Y. Core from Undertale, which I never did. Kraid's Lair from Metroid. I haven't done very many Metroid covers at all.
That could sound really swanky.
Yeah. The Super Mario Brothers Underground theme in 7/4. I don't know why that's on the list, but.
Well, you gotta at one point, I thought it was obscure ones, right?
Yeah, at one point, I thought it was a good idea.
probably is. Mm. Even the bad ideas. Keep a list of bad ideas, too, because you never know when they'll come back.
Yeah, sometimes they'll turn into good ones.
So I guess is that all the stuff that you have next up kind of in the pipeline? Or do you have other projects that you're focusing on?
So I'm currently working on an album of Pokemon Sun and Moon music. Uh-huh. I've done a bunch of tunes from that recently, and I figure might as well release them remastered in like a complete album format. I've been working on a Pokemon Generation 4 album for the longest time. I don't know when that'll be done. I had an idea for some big Chrono Trigger stuff. Other than that, I did have an idea. Let me see. I have another list of future ideas.
Oh wait, you have a second list of ideas separate from the songs
separate,
you want to
separate
cover.
From the channel. Good. The music
just
ideas.
Making sure we have this straight.
I wanted to make Insane in the Rain brand umbrellas that just say like Insane in the on them. So I love that idea so much. You'd pull out your umbrella and it'd be raining, and then the rain would fill in the rest of the name.
All right, you said it on air. Now you have to do it.
I have to do it. I had an idea for an ebook at one point on like how to do video game covers and remixes. That's a very small idea that will probably grow into something big. Like a guide for people who haven't done it yet.
Like focusing on the actual arranging or how to get a channel together?
Everything.
Oh, the whole shebang.
Like a pretty comprehensive thing, which is why it would take a long time to do.
Really cool, though. And you could get a lot of people to, you know, guest write if you want.
Yeah, that's like, what I was thinking. Like get a bunch of friends and colleagues to contribute their own stories and their own knowledge about the YouTube world and share that knowledge with everybody else.
Okay. Well, man, that's exciting, though. You got a lot of ideas cooking.
And lists.
And lists, yes! I'm a fan of lists. This is good. Well, let's get one more list out of the way, then. Where can people find you if they want to follow you around the internet?
I don't have a list of... Actually, okay, if you go to my YouTube page and you go to my About section, there's like a little channel description, and below that, there's like links to all my social media pages, and I'm assuming the channel will be linked in the show notes, so then you can go there, then go down to the link section, and I have a Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, Instagram, And I also have a Snapchat, which I don't use very much, but in case you want to add me, it's Insane in the Snap, which I think is a brilliant name.
It's very good. It is very high quality. As we proved at the top of the show, we're both very good with words. And so, you nailed it.
Thank you.
Well, that's awesome. Anything else you want to plug here or mention before we peace out?
Oh, I don't have a list of things to plug here.
I've finally found your weakness.
I would just encourage you to support the creators that you like by watching their videos and sharing them with your friends, because in this day and age when YouTube is changing a lot of things, for those of us who are our fan bases are mainly based on YouTube, it can be kind of hard when your videos don't get sent out to everybody or not everybody knows when you put out a new video. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you have a YouTube channel you like, even if it's not mine, just support them, tell them that you like their videos and share them with your friends, because it means the world to them, even if you don't get to show them that you've done that support for them.
Well said, Carlos. And thanks for stopping by. It was very, very fun to finally talk to you for a little while.
Yeah, no problem. That was enjoyable.
Thanks again, dude. And now we'll bring you back to the show.
Welcome to The Big Ones, a look at popular game music and what makes it so loved. This week is all about the many versions, remixes, and re-releases of Street Fighter II. When you think Street Fighter II, what systems do you think of? I instantly think of the Super Nintendo, but for a lot of people, it'll be the original arcade cabinet, or maybe the Sega Genesis port, or maybe one of the dozens of re-releases for later consoles. Which raises another question. What suffix do you think of after the title Street Fighter II? Turbo or Champion Edition? Or maybe you think nothing comes after Street Fighter II because it's Super Street Fighter II Turbo, or Hyper Super Street Fighting, or the new Challenger, you know, there's a lot. And here's a fun exercise. Search Street Fighter II soundtrack on YouTube. You'll see more than 6 different versions represented. And all this is to say, the game's loved in its many forms and platforms, and the different versions of the soundtrack are fascinating to look at. Street Fighter II literally changed the game for the fighting game genre. Fighting games did exist before Street Fighter II, but this game popularized the genre and established the gameplay conventions as we know them today. It originally released in 1991 on the arcade and exploded into popularity, with ports and future versions being released on almost every platform you can think of. Looking at the list of consoles the game was released on is kind of like just looking at a list of every current-gen console from the 90s. There's the main ones like the SNES and Genesis, or Mega Drive if you're outside North America, but also the Amiga, Atari ST, Amstrad, SBC, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum in Europe. Plus there are MS-DOS and Game Boy versions. Not to mention all of the re-releases on pretty much every mainstream console since the turn of the millennia. But for all these many different ports, there's essentially 6 editions of the game. Street Fighter II, The World Warrior, this is the core game. Street Fighter II Champion Edition, Street Fighter II Turbo, Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter II, The New Challengers, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, and finally, Hyper Street Fighter II Turbo, The Anniversary Edition. Each of these add new characters, stages, mechanics, and, importantly for this episode, music. In Street Fighter, each character has a corresponding stage, and that stage has that corresponding character's theme. So as more characters and stages were added, more music was added. Plus, the same editions would exist on multiple consoles with different sound chips, so the music would sound different based on what each console was capable of. And in the arcade cabinets themselves, you can hear the technology progressing in the successive versions. So there are some cases where there are close to 10 different official versions of the same song. But today, we're just going to look at one of these tracks, Ken's Theme, to see how the different versions vary. Disclaimer, I'm probably not going to get all of this information right. The only version I really interacted with myself was the original SNES version and the occasional cabinet of Super Street Fighter II Turbo. The information's confusing and kind of all over the place, so I might not get it all perfect. With that out of the way, let's start with the original arcade version. this music kind of sounds like a mashup of consoles, with the twanging lead synth of the Genesis and the compressed sample instruments of the SNES. Part of me loves the way the compressed drums sound. They're really dirty and rough, not crisp and clean like most of the music from the early 90s, besides grunge. This is the first SNES version. It has the synth lead similar to the arcade version, but the sample drums are far superior in terms of sound quality, so the track as a whole is crisper. And since it's Capcom music on the SNES, it sounds like a proto Mega Man X track. This is the first Sega Genesis version, or Mega Drive version if you're outside North America. It's definitely more simple and pared down. It also has an instrument that I can only call the Genesis vibes. You hear this instrument all throughout the library of the Genesis. This is the second arcade version. The samples have definitely improved from the original, with a sampled guitar or maybe trumpet taking the lead. It sounds kind of like a Game Boy Advance game, with the better samples that are still very much compressed. This is the second SNES version from Super Street Fighter: The New Challengers. This one's far more complex than the original SNES one, with even better samples. But the mix isn't that great, and all the instruments kind of seem to be fighting for attention. This is the Sega Genesis version of Super Street Fighter II: The New Challengers. Maybe it's just the rip that I found, but the harmony completely outweighs the melody. The bass is jamming, though. This version's from Super Street Fighter II Turbo HD Remix. This soundtrack's a ton of fun because it was actually created by OC Remixers. Capcom associate producer Ray Jimenez heard the OC Remix Super Street Fighter II Turbo tribute album, Blood on the Asphalt, so he chose many of the artists from the album to create the soundtrack for Super Street Fighter II Turbo HD Remix. In fact, many of the tracks on the soundtrack are remixes of the remixes on Blood on the Asphalt. Jimenez later said that working with OC Remix and hearing the resulting album was one of the most rewarding aspects on working on HD Remix. DJ Pretzel directed the album, and this version of Kin's theme is by Sixto Sounds. It stays true to the original with synths and guitars all over the place. The guitar and synth lines play in unison with even more synths and guitars backing it up. Now for some stranger versions. This version's from the Amiga, and it only came out in Europe. You can definitely hear the limitations of the Amiga on this one. The whole thing just sounds a little off. This version's from the Game Boy. I didn't even know there was a Game Boy version of Street Fighter 2, but here we are. This arrangement's actually really good and sounds kind of like a forgotten Mega Man theme. It's fascinating hearing a song stripped down to only the core features. I can't find an exact date on this version, but any console that used CDs or could otherwise hold enough storage had this version. This includes the MS-DOS, 3DO, and Hyper Street Fighter 2 on the arcade. Without sound card or space limitations, the audio is incredibly high quality. And it's Japanese and was created in the early 90s, so it's also incredibly cheesy. Street Fighter 2 has so many versions, and luckily for us, it was released in an era where every version would have a new or different technology, requiring a unique soundtrack. It's amazing to hear the different versions of the same song, and to not really know what the true version of the song is. But in all these versions, the music is memorable and fun. So next episode, I'm going to dive into the songs themselves, look at the many composers and arrangers, and talk about why these tracks stand the test of time. Thanks for listening, and listen well.
What a show, what a show.
Indeed, Stephen. I could have said it better myself.
It's like I set you up for that one.
Indeed. All right. If people want to find out more about OC Remix, you know where you should go? You should go to www.ocremix.org.
That's not a bad idea. And Twitter's fun, too. We're OCR Podcast over there in case you want to get in touch and submit playlist suggestions.
You can also email us at podcast@ocremix.org.
Yes. And I just want to throw this out here. Don't forget about Discord. You can go to our Twitter profile and find a link to that.
Absolutely. And I would also like to thank Sin for doing the Remix Rewind, as always, Carlos for doing the interview, and Matthew for doing that wonderful Street Fighter segment, I Expect a Part 2.
All good people who are good.
We're just going to go ahead and jump into the playlist.
I like playlists.
Understand. The Playlist is a weekly collection of listener-submitted recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is saxophone music. Big Blue from Mario Kart 8 and submitted by Zachary. Battle Rocks, originally from Super Mario Bros. 3, remixed by Am I Evil, and submitted by Square Evil. Below the Stars, Above the Lights, from Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded and submitted by Joseph G. Killer Instinct, originally from Killer Instinct, remixed by VJams and submitted by Phoenix Down.
Thank you.
Xanadu, Palace of Pleasure, from Final Fantasy XIII-2, and submitted by Tyler.
Stage 1 theme, Remix, from Spelunker, and submitted by Too Mellow.
The Transient Silence, from Mega Man X Arrange album and submitted by the M-Disc Playlist Podcast.
One Night in Neo Kobe City, from Snatcher, and submitted by Kyle, JCRB.
Underground from Deadly Premonition and submitted by Major Third.
Arashi no Saxophone, arranged from the King of Fighters 95 and submitted by Carlos. Been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Vocal Tracks. Mikolaj Strawinski of The Witcher fame will be here next week, so follow his lead and spice up the world with the good old human voice. To submit your own suggestions,
or just say how do you do,
hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom:
streaking lights, loud sounds, and instincts are the elements that keep me going. I am fighting my own mission. Nothing's gonna stand in my way.